Father, we want to praise you this morning that you're the one who sets us free. We want to praise you because through your sacrifice on the cross, death has no hold on us. Thank you that you've broken every chain, that in you we can find salvation, forgiveness, cleansing, and healing. Thank you that you are our living hope. Would you make that more real to us today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John, you may sit. John said in his epistle that if we confess our sins, he, that's God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's just take a moment to think of some of those things that we need to confess. Ask God maybe just to touch our lives with his Spirit on those things we need to bring before him. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have failed you, as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and help. Our selfishness betrays you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We fail to share the pain of your suffering. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We run away from those who abuse you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have our first reading.
Our first reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. God's word through his Son. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for the sins of mankind, he sat down in heaven at the right-hand side of God, the supreme power. The Son was made greater than the angels. Just as the name that God gave him is greater than theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke 17, beginning at the 11th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke up. "There were 10 who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So over the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called What Has the Cross Achieved for Us? A couple of weeks ago, Trev spoke to us about sin and forgiveness. And then last week, Ian talked to us about guilt. And this week, I have been given the task of talking about purification. Now, I did what I normally do when I'm given a subject matter of more than two syllables. I looked it up just to check I definitely did know what it meant. And the dictionary definition of purification is actually quite helpful. It has two definitions. The first is the removal of contaminants from something. And the second definition of purification is the process of making something spiritually or ceremonially clean. Now, I like to play a game when I'm doing preparing my talks. The game is, what song will Tim pick? And I scored 10 out of 10 today because I thought he might pick Purify My Heart. It's the song that comes to mind when you think about the word purify. And I love the description, let me be as gold. And perhaps the word pure is most used in our language today in our description of gold. We talk about pure gold. So, you thought you were just coming to church for a talk and a few songs. You are going to have a science lesson this morning because I've got a video to show you which does a little bit of explaining about what you have to do to purify gold.
Refining employs a variety of technologies which have been developed over thousands of years. 1 troy ounce of gold can now be extracted from 15,000 pounds of low-grade ore, and recycled gold accounts for around 1/3 of the world's supply. Refining processes employ hydrometallurgy and pyrometallurgy in a series of steps to separate, concentrate, and purify. The steps depend on the ore or scrap being processed, as well as the other materials being removed. The differences in physical and chemical properties of materials are used to separate them. Large-scale gold refining operations start with crushing and grinding the ore to liberate the gold from surrounding rock. The gold is then dissolved into solution in a process called leaching. Heap leaching is routinely used to remove gold from ore deposits and tailings. Vat leaching is most frequently used when removing gold from secondary or scrap materials, such as electronic scrap or even jewelry scrap. After leaching, solution concentration and purification steps, such as solvent extraction and ion exchange, are sometimes employed to further concentrate and separate the precious metals. The gold is then brought back to metallic form by either precipitation or electrolysis. Dissolved gold can be precipitated back to metallic gold with either copper or zinc powder, for example. A number of chemical compounds can also be used to precipitate the gold from the solution, including sulfur dioxide gas. The precipitated fine gold is referred to as gold sponge. Electrolysis is generally employed when separating and purifying gold from virtually all substrates. Electrolysis can plate out gold from leach solutions or be used to electro-refine low-grade or mixed alloy gold. Pyrometallurgy involves a variety of melting or other thermal treatment of ores to concentrate or extract metals. The Miller process is a widely used example of reactive gas refining. It was patented in 1867 and is still a very effective process for stripping out silver and base metal impurities from high-grade gold alloys such as doré, produced by many mining operations, and high-grade jewelry scrap. This is done by bubbling pure chlorine gas through molten gold, which reacts with the silver and base metals, forming chloride salts. These salts are insoluble in the molten gold and skim from the surface, leaving at minimum 98% pure gold. The purity expected at the end of the final refining processes is at minimum 99.95%. For specific purposes, whether banking and trading, or alloy or pharmaceutical manufacture, the purity level required may be as high as 5 9s+.
So I hope that's made that clear and you'll be prepared for the test next week. Put into simple terms, There are two most common methods of purifying gold. One is fire and one are chemicals. Refining with flames is probably one of the oldest methods of refining metals. It's mentioned in the Bible. In ancient times, this form of refining involved a craftsman sitting next to a hot fire with molten gold in a crucible and stirring it and then skimming from the top all of the impurities or dross that rise to the top of the molten metal. But with flames reaching in excess of 1,000 degrees Celsius, this job was quite a dangerous one. The second method used involves the use of chemicals, and I did think, in fact, I found some instructions on how to do this yourself. I did think about contacting Ian and saying, shall we have a go? But I thought that might be taking it a step too far. But all you need is some nitric acid and some hydrochloric acid. Those acids are used to dissolve the impurities in the gold ore, and afterwards they're neutralized and washed away, taking the impurities with them. So what we're left with is gold in its purest form. Perhaps another way of looking at the purification of gold is that it returns gold to its original and intended form, how it was before all the contaminants and muck got in. And that's what the cross does for us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, certainly in the NIV version, it says that Jesus provided purification for sins. And what that really means, I think, is that through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, some kind of purification process is made available to us, a sort of spiritual equivalent of a chemical wash that gets rid of all of the things that should never have been there in the first place. Things that we call sin. Sin was never meant to be part of our lives. That's a thought that I find quite comforting and actually quite essential as I grapple with all of the bad and evil that exists in the world. That wasn't what God intended for us. But God also loved humanity so much that he gave us free will, the right to choose whether or not we live as God intended. So now we live contaminated lives, lives that have been muddied and spoiled by sin, by things that get in the way of our relationship with God. So into that mess, God sent Jesus in a kind of holy cleanup mission. It's not that Jesus got rid of sin from the world, perhaps that's for his next visit. But through his death on the cross, he offered us the chance to be purified. All we have to do is accept the offer. When we ask Jesus into our lives, he provides the way for us to be reunited with God, washing away our sins, purifying us, and allowing us to stand sparkly clean in front of God, the way that God always intended us to. Whatever's happened in your life, whatever bad decisions you may have made, or whatever mess you feel your life is in, there is nothing too big for Jesus to handle. The psalmist voices it like this: create in me a pure heart. And that's just what Jesus wants to do in our lives. Which brings me on to our other reading, the story of the 10 men with a dreaded skin disease or leprosy. 10 men call out to Jesus to help them. 10 men are told to go and present themselves to the priest. And this would have been a really big deal because it's the priest who gets to say whether they're clean or not. It's the priest who decides whether they can join in with worship, be part of society, or whether they're going to be ostracized. 10 men go, and 10 men are healed on the way. 10 men realize what this means: acceptance back into society, another chance at life, being able to go to the temple and worship. 9 men go on to claim the benefits that are owed to them. But one man turns around and comes back. I don't know about you, but I always feel that Jesus sounds a bit surprised in that reading, that only one has come back when all 10 were healed. And we might be mistaken for thinking that that's a gratitude thing. After all, the man does fall to his knees and say thank you to Jesus. But I don't think that Jesus was expecting them to come back to thank him in the way that you and I might go to find the host of a party to say thank you before we leave. Although the one who came back was grateful and showed his appreciation, perhaps what he actually did was something more. He recognized who Jesus was. While 9 men went to see a man who can make sacrifices to purify some people for a limited amount of time, one turned round and came back to the man who would go on to make one sacrifice that purified all people for all time. In response to the one who returned, Jesus says this: "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, I think that seems a bit of a strange thing to say, because all 10 men were healed. Is it some kind of cruel trick? Is God suddenly going to inflict the other 9 with leprosy again because they didn't come back? It doesn't really sound like God. Or perhaps it was a general kind of sentence that Jesus said about the faith of all 10 men. It's just that only one happened to have come back to hear him say it. I think maybe something else is going on in that bit. One of the things that I'm looking forward to doing at college is learning a bit of Greek. And it's because of passages like this that the thought excites me. So before my Greek education begins, I'm reliant on Strong's. And it tells me that the Greek word that we translate as well, as in your faith has made you well, is the word sozo. In different places in the New Testament, the word is used to mean slightly different things, such as heal or make well. But by far, the most common usage of that word, used 18 times, as opposed to only 4 when it means heal, is to mean to save or salvation. Jesus' compassion has made all 10 men well. But perhaps this one man's faith, demonstrated by him returning to Jesus, recognizing who he is what has saved him. Perhaps 9 men were made ceremonially clean that day, but one was made spiritually clean by the same person who offers the same gift of purification and salvation to us, Jesus. This gift of purification that Jesus offers sounds pretty good. To have all of our sins, all of the dross and contaminants of our life washed away so that we can live as God always intended us to. All we have to do to receive it is acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross for us. And I'm going to make sure that we have a chance to do that this morning. But I do have one final question for us to ponder. How do we know we've been purified? If we have dirty hands, we can wash them and we can see the dirt coming off, the water changing colour and our hands becoming clean. If you purify gold by fire, the contaminants rise to the top in the heat of the flames and you can see them and skim them off. And being healed of a skin disease, whether leprosy or something else, is a pretty visual thing. It would have left people disfigured. The symptoms are obvious to see, and the removal of that illness and its symptoms would have been just as obvious. Those 10 men would have looked very different after being healed than before. But when we're purified of our sins, there's nothing to see. So how can we know that it's happened? Well, I think there's 2 aspects to that. And the first is about being sure of who it is that purifies us. The one man who went back knew that the answer to everything lay with Jesus. Our first reading that we heard this morning from Hebrews claims that Jesus provided purification for our sins. But before it makes that claim, it names an impressive list of credentials. Jesus, the means by which God speaks to us, God's Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, who sustains all things by his powerful hand. He really is the only one who can make us clean and rid us of our sins by what he did on the cross. And the second thing is that we will see a change. It may not be a visible one. It may not be quite as obvious as being healed from leprosy. But when we accept Jesus into our lives, we're set free from our sin. We live as people who have been made clean. Last week, Ian spoke about guilt and that it can bind and trap us. But the cross achieves freedom for us, freedom from all of the dross, the contaminants, the sin. Free to love others, free to love ourselves, and freedom from any fear of being judged by God, because we know that he has forgiven us. If this all sounds like something that you'd quite like to happen in your life, then let's ask God for it now. Let's pray. God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross. Through his death, he achieved for us the purification of our sins. We accept this gift now and ask that you get rid of all of the sin and muck that has accumulated in our lives. Clean and purify our hearts and free us to live as you intended us to, able to receive and offer to others the enormous love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just stay in an attitude of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you shed your blood for us on the cross. You were the perfect sacrifice for sin, so that we might be cleansed and set free. Thank you. And now we pray that you would help us to give our lives back to you in worship and in service for all that you have done for us. Jesus, Lamb of God, you cared about the poor, the oppressed, those who are outcast and those who are excluded. Help us, your children, to care for those who are poor, to provide for those in need, to befriend the lonely and the outsider and those excluded from community. Help us to be ready to sacrifice our comfort for their blessing. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that through the cross you have said we can know your healing and wholeness. Thank you that you demonstrated that by touching the leper, by healing the blind, the lame, even by raising the dead to life. Lord Jesus Christ, would you empower us, your church, in faith to bring before you those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, that today they may receive your healing touch and wholeness. Give us faith and confidence to stretch out our hand to touch and to heal in the power of Jesus. Father, thank you that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Yet so many live their lives not knowing that you love them, not knowing your forgiveness, not knowing your cleansing and holiness. Lord, would you unite us, your church, to proclaim your love so that we might see your kingdom come, people turning to faith and trust in you, and being transformed to live for you in the freedom that you offer. Empower us, your people, and work through us, we pray. Jesus, Lamb of God, you loved the world so much that you went to the cross. Help us to love your world too, the creation that you have made, every person that you have created. Help us to steward well what you have entrusted to our care. We pray again today for our nations, for our leaders. Thank you that through the cross we can know your peace. And we pray that we may be agents of your peace in this parish, this town, this nation, and to the whole world. We ask this in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Joining our prayer and praises into one, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.